You know, the amazing thing about life is that where you are is not where everybody else is. We wonder, why is it so hard for us to be united? Oh, come on, we're sitting here this morning and we're not even united. We're not. Some of you are in a great place. Some of you are in a difficult place. Some of us are on fire. Some of us are fanning, just trying to get the ember to go. And, you know, we go through this all week, right? We deal with people that don't know the Lord, and we get frustrated. And why can't they act better? Why can't they just treat people right? Why can't they be nice? Why don't they know? We get among fellow believers, and well, if we're all following Jesus, how can they possibly frustrate me like that? Or how could they hurt my feelings? Or you try to teach your kids. Why don't they have it by now? Why do they keep on requiring me to say the same things over and over and over? The hamper's in the same spot. I haven't moved it, and yet their dirty clothes just fall 2 feet short. Church, our Father in heaven's looking down at us the same way. Every single one of us in our lives, He's looking at us going, why can't you trust me in this? How many times do I have to prove myself for you to trust me? Our Father in heaven looks down upon us each and every day. He said, hey, look, what I want from you is real simple. Why don't you give it to me? This morning's lesson is going to require us to be reminded of the joy of our salvation. To be reminded of what it felt like at that time in our lives when the only thing that mattered was, I know that Jesus died for my sins and I need His blood to cover me. What we're going to see from our text today in Acts chapter 16 is that today is a good day to talk about the Lord. So let's go to Him in prayer so that we can figure this out. Our Father in heaven, we praise Your name. We bless Your name. We glorify Your name. When our cups are full, Father, we thank You. We thank You for providing, for causing our lives to overflow, for blessing us in so many ways. And Father, when there's pain in the offering, and we have a hard time getting ourselves here and getting our minds right and getting our hearts in tune with You because it hurts, Father, we bless Your name in that stance as well. And Father, we bless Your name in our exuberance with voices loud and open hands to You. And Father, we bless Your name in quiet. Father, we appreciate so much Your mercy and Your patience with us. Father, help us to be patient with others. Help us to be patient with others. Lord, when we face each day as Your children, I pray that we will decide in our hearts to make it a good day, to talk about what You've done, to share how You've affected us and how You've affected the world. Father, we're here because You loved us, because You continue to love us, because You sent Your Son to die for our sins, because You give us today to remember and to celebrate all that You do. Father, we praise Your name. And we ask today, as we continue to be invited to participate with our Lord and Savior, with Your Holy Spirit, Father, open our eyes and open our hearts so that we know what to do and that we have the endurance and strength and love to do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 16. Starting in verse 11, you'll remember at the beginning of Acts chapter 16, Paul and his companions are thinking about going out northeast, and the Holy Spirit says, nope, it's not where we're going. We're going west. We're headed to Greece. So today we're going to see some of what happens as they go west and they head into Greece. Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 11. So setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she prevailed upon us. All right, so Paul and his companions, they're headed west. They make it to Philippi, and they are looking for a place of prayer, a place where it was just natural for people to come together and to offer up prayer and alms and thanksgiving to God. And they go there, and there are some women there, and they spoke to the women. They spoke to them. It seems like a very simple thing, seems like a very rudimentary thing, but we know that culturally, these men would not really be speaking to women. That would not be something that you and I would naturally do, such as we do today. These women are worshiping God. Paul and his companions go up to them, and they speak to them. They speak to them. They're there. They're worshiping God. They're serving Him as best they can. And the Scripture tells us, speaking directly to them, the Lord opened their heart. The Lord opens Lydia's heart. And she and all of her household are baptized. And then she opens up her home to the disciples. You know, church, we've all heard this before, but we need to be reminded of this again. Our job is to share the good news of Jesus. That's our job. And we always trust Him with the results. We always trust Him with the results. I mean, it's why Jesus would tell the story about the sower and the seed, and he goes out one day and he's got the seed and he throws it, and some ground is going to be like this, and some ground is going to be like that, and some ground is going to produce a great crop, and some ground is going to get really excited and then just not last. Some ground is not going to take it at all. See, that's His job. That's His job. How many times in your life have you thought, even been urged by the Spirit, you know what? I'm going to actually talk about Jesus today. He's with me. We're walking together. And I'm actually going to say words out loud to another human being about the most important thing in my life. Because I see fit to share the weather. And guess what? What's going to happen tomorrow? Weather. Newsflash. It's going to be different. We see fit to talk about that. We see fit to talk about ourselves. We see fit to chit-chat. We see fit to complain, to gripe, to do all these things. And yet the most important thing to us, a lot of times, remains unspoken. I take that back. That's not really fair, is it? We do talk about the most important things to us. We all talk about the most important things to us. We all put out loud into the world what is most important to us. Problem is, it's not always Jesus. Paul goes to these women, And he speaks directly to them. Now, I underline that because that's going to come into play in the very next story, because something interesting happens here. But church, what we have got to get into our hearts and what we have to understand and do every single day is tell other people about Jesus. And when we are filled with gratitude and thanksgiving and the Spirit of Christ Himself, when that is guiding our lives and directing our steps, it is not just so that you and I will be good people and make God happy with us. We've gone through, we're in 16 chapters of this entire book. We're in 16 chapters, and it's starting to get in that God wants more from me. God wants more from us. God wants the good that He has given to me to reach other people. And He has chosen me, and He has chosen you, and He has chosen all of us to be the medium in sharing and getting that good news to the lost. God loves them. We have the evidence. He sent His own Son to die on the cross for them. But the question now comes to us, do we love them? Do we care about them? Or are we only like the heathens who only care about their own household? Right? I mean, hey, and Jesus Himself said, if you only love those who love you, you're not being like Jesus. You're being like everybody. You're being like everybody. Everybody loves their own family. Everybody loves those that are close to them. But to actually reach out to someone who might turn on you, who might not appreciate you, who might not shower you with praise and thanksgiving because the message and the gift is so valuable and so important and, oh yes, has eternal consequences. And God says, I need my people to share the gift that they've been given. And again, every day we face the struggle and we face the fight because the enemy goes, all you have to do is stay quiet. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is stay quiet. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do is to leave this relationship on a surface level. All you have to do is leave this conversation about mundane things. That's all you have to do. And God's kingdom is not advanced. And boy, that's a tough temptation, isn't it? It's a tough temptation to know that all I have to do is not say anything. And the enemy goes, that was easy, wasn't it? It was easy to keep your mouth shut. It was easy not to take the risk. It was easy not to waste any seed because, you know, they're probably not good ground anyway. They're probably not going to listen. They're definitely not going to respond. They're not going to become a pillar of your church. They're not going to be important for your ministry. Paul took a chance, and he's talking to these women that are just there at the place to pray. But I want you to see the fruit of this. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 4. Go down to verse 14. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Paul writes to the church in Philippi and says, hey, you guys realize that in all my travels and in all my journeys, you're the only ones that partnered with me and helped me out. How did that happen? That happened because Paul was doing his part and being faithful and saying, I'm not going to decide what's going to happen from this conversation. That's God's job. I'm just going to be faithful and I'm going to initiate the conversation. That's what Paul did. And it changed Lydia's life, and it changed Lydia's household life, which in turn changed Paul's ministry, and he was able to help even more people because the church in Philippi, they got the good news, and they said, okay, Paul, how do we help? What can we do? And they became partners with him. Kind of cool, huh? Exactly. Now, church, you and I have enough experience with the Lord to know that He can do a lot of very big things when we give Him very little, right? In fact, what did He tell you? What did He tell you about the mustard seed? The mustard seed itself, what's it like? It's small, not impressive, right? There's much bigger seeds. He said, but that tiny seed, though, when it grows, look how big it becomes. Look how great it is. Look how much shade it provides. Turns into something big. And church, think about where you are in your life right now. Think about all that God has done in your life, all the blessings that He has done, all the ways in which He has led you, and all the good that you have seen and witnessed and experienced because of His mercy. Every single one of us, He takes us while we are yet sinners, and He says, hey, here's what I've done for you. Would you like to be involved in that? And when we accept that, when we believe the good news that was done for us, our life changes. And so now, as we get to be partners with Jesus in sharing this good news with those around us, we have to remember our purpose every single day, that this conversation might change a life. This conversation might be the one that God uses for eternal life. This might be the conversation that leads to a household all being baptized and partnering with us. Okay. Anybody got any expectations for God? Like, do you expect anything of God? We should. He's promised a lot. He's promised a lot. We should expect Him. We should go into conversations and into our daily life and into our work meeting and into our conversations with our family members and our friends and just people that we just might meet. We have to go into those things with big expectations that God can take what little I bring to the table and turn it into something big. It's what He's always done. I mean, we've looked at the stories. You know your Bible. God goes to the unexpected places. He finds the second born. He finds the one without honor. He finds the one that is not impressive when it comes to good looks or, you know, to build physical stature. And He says, hey, I'm going to use them to accomplish my work. It's what God does. So, Philippi, these Christians that Paul is talking to in Acts chapter 16, they become the only church that help him and help support his ministry financially. Turn back to Acts chapter 16. So, there's a fantastic encounter. Paul speaks directly to the women, and some amazing things happen. And let's pick it up in verse 16. Verse 16, Acts 16, 16, as we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. Okay, just picture this, okay? Beth is sitting right here. I'm just going to pick on her, okay? This is what we're talking about. This age in life, this stage in life, okay? That's what we're dealing with here. She is owned by some people because she has within her a spirit that helps her tell the future. And so some people have enslaved her. And you're going to go out, you're going to use this gift that you have, and you're going to make us some money. And she's going around, and she starts following Paul. And the spirit that's within this little girl is going around. Hey! Hey! That would be a little unsettling, wouldn't it? That would be a little unsettling, but at the same time, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool because look what she says. These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. That would be a little disturbing, but you know, kind of kind of cool. If you were living your life in such a way that someone just went around going, hey, this one, yeah, you need to listen to them. They got it. You need to pay attention. Hey, everybody, pay attention. Pay attention. These guys serve the real God. And they're trying to share with you all the way of salvation. Boy, evangelism would be much easier if we had that kind of red carpet, right? I mean, yeah, I'd share Jesus with everybody if I had just a little trumpeter going in front of me going, Michael's going to tell you about the Most High God. Everybody listen up. He's bringing salvation today. Anybody care about it? Because he's got it. I mean, I'd walk into a room a little differently, right? That's not usually what I get. What I usually get is trepidation and, okay, how's this going to go? Is this going to be received well, or is, you know, am I going to experience something different? Not really sure. Not really sure. But that's what's happening to Paul. And when this is happening, here's his reaction. Verse 18. And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and, I underlined it, said to the Spirit. It's not insignificant. That's why I underlined it. These two stories, as we get a lot in the Bible, as we really get a lot of in the book of Acts, back to back to back to back, I got to learn something here. First story, you've got a woman, fears God, she needs to hear about Jesus. Paul breaks through the social and gender politics of the day, and he speaks directly to the women, which would not have been, you know, a really popular thing to do anyway. He does that, and he speaks to the women. Here he has got someone trumpeting and announcing his arrival and the ministry that he is trying to do. Paul is, he's frustrated. He's annoyed. This girl won't be quiet, so he turns. But this girl is not speaking of her own accord. This girl is possessed with a spirit. She has a spirit within her. Paul turns and he speaks directly to the Spirit. That's not nothing. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And it came out that very hour. All right, now first things first, church, we need to get this. We need to get this in our hearts. We are taking the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We are sharing it. We are speaking. We are offering it to other people, not under compulsion. Not under compulsion, not under threat. We are telling them the wonderful thing that God has done for them. And we give them the dignity that God gave us that they can make their own choice of whether to accept his gift or not. The Spirit gets commanded. I hope you have the experience. I hope you have the experience of the difference between talking to a person with free will and emissary. Is that a good word? Emissary is someone who's sent, right? Yeah. An emissary of the enemy. You better recognize who you're talking to. Because sometimes you might have to talk directly to the spirit of the enemy. That's not the person. There's a difference. There's a difference when I talk to people, and there's a difference when I talk to that spirit. It's quite evident. Paul talks directly to the spirit, and he says, I'll leave her alone. Get out of her. She is proclaiming the gospel. She is proclaiming the gospel, but she is doing so under compulsion, right? She's doing so under compulsion, which is why Lane read for us Mark's gospel. Mark, you remember Mark chapter 1 and chapter 3? Oh, wait a minute, that's why. Hey, what? And how did Jesus handle the spirits? Not your job. Do the spirits know who Jesus is? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. They know who Jesus is, they know where he came from, and they know what he has come to do. Does it benefit them? No, it does not. It's not for them, it's for who? It's for God's children. That's what the gospel's for. The act of Jesus on the cross. Who's it for? It's for God's children. It's for humanity. And so the spirits, they see Jesus coming and they're like, whoa, I know who you are. I know what's going on. We see what, you know, these meat puppets can't see. We know what's true. And we recognize you. And Jesus goes, he would not let them speak. Now, if some of you are already uncomfortable with the idea of talking to spirits and this existence outside of ourselves or in this unseen realm, okay, I'll let you, you know, you can struggle with that. That's not what today's lesson is about. I'm just going to take a few assumptions on the fact that that's in Scripture and it's part of the new covenant. And maybe we ought to pay attention to what's going on instead of just going, church, we have been given a blessing and a gift and a responsibility to do what is our job to do. God has called us to share the gospel. He has called creatures of faith to share a story that requires a response of faith by other creatures who are free to make that choice. See how God works here? See, Jesus, he comes face to face with the Spirit, and he's like, I know you know this is not for you. I know you know, but it doesn't benefit you. So be quiet. Now, in Mark chapter 1, did a lot of people see him cast out the demons and go, hey, pay attention. This is something. You don't see this every day. This is something, right? People got excited, but he wouldn't let the demons talk about it, would he? That is not who is going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are those who get to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some days you're going to meet a Lydia. Some days you're going to meet a Lydia. And some days you're going to meet some scumbags who are using this young girl for her unnatural talents. So how does it turn out? Verse 19. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. You think Paul just went, should have just left it alone. If I'd have known it was going to turn into jail time, I would have. Right? But he doesn't. He doesn't. Just like you and I don't. We don't know if it's going to hurt a relationship. Oh, I shouldn't have talked about Jesus. Proved himself right. He said he would divide our homes. I'm willing to stand up for my faith, and people in my household are not happy about it, right? Nope, we're doing it this way because this is the way that Jesus says to do it. I'm losing some friends because some people don't agree with that. I'm getting yelled at. I'm getting in trouble. I'm losing my job. I'm getting thrown in jail. Which, you know, we can't relate to, but you never know. You never know. Paul spoke directly to the women. He gets a partner in the gospel. Enough so that he writes the letter and says, hey, thanks. Thank you. Thank you for partnering with me and helping me. You are helping me help other people. And this girl, he's just annoyed. He's just annoyed that this spirit just keeps on saying these things. And it's not the spirit's job to announce the gospel. It's Paul's job. It's his responsibility. So he just does what Jesus does and stops it. And that led to prison. Led to a good beating too. I mean, it wasn't just grab him by the collar and say, nope, can't do that, throwing him in jail. It was ripping their clothes off and beating them with rods in view of everyone. Now, we're stopping right here in Acts today. We'll get to that. Pretty cool story. But immediately, Paul talking to the Spirit leads to some difficulties, some pain at the hands of other people. And, oh boy, they get dragged out. They get thrown in jail. Okay, so what? So what? So what? A couple things. So what? God has chosen to partner with us in getting the gospel to the lost. We have a part. We have a part. We know what he's done for us, and we have a part in sharing that with others. It's not an option. It's not an option. We have a part. And so what? So I don't know what's going to happen when I am brave enough to trust Jesus and the most important thing that I have in my life to actually say it out loud to another person. I don't know what it's going to turn into. I mean, I don't know if they're just going to write me a check on the spot and say, boy, I'm so thankful. How many zeros do I put on this? That's never happened to me, so I'm still waiting. And I don't know if it's going to turn into public humiliation, stinging, or the loss of my comfort. I don't know. I don't know. But Jesus told us it's not your job to worry about the soil. Your job is to spread the seed. God takes care of the soil. God takes care of the soil. And church, here's the wonderful news. Because we have been saved from our sin, because we have hope of eternal life with our Father in heaven, we don't have to fear the earthly repercussions. Jesus could only do what he did on Calvary for our sins because he knew what? He knew where he came from, he knew whose he was, and he knows where he's going back. He knew it. He absolutely knew it. When we know where we came from, where that was headed, and we decided upon hearing the good news of, you know what, I don't want to be dead. We were dead. We were dead. The people that we are encountering with the good news, they're dead. It's kind of serious. That's kind of serious. But now we've been made alive with Christ. And so, Jesus, Paul, Stephen, I mean, how many examples do you need of those who are faithful to Christ to say, I'm not really going to worry about what the world thinks, says, or does to me. Because I don't live for them anymore. I live for the one who died for me. And has invited me to take his news to others. All right. Once we make that decision, turn over to Psalm 51. Once we make that decision, we got to know what to say, right? What do I say? Huh? It'd be helpful if, like, Sunrise just made a pamphlet, made copies, and just put a stack at the door. So this week, all right. You got to hand out 10 of these, or don't come back next Sunday. I'd be real nervous next Sunday. Psalm 51. I want us to take a look at this. This is amazing. This is fantastic. You want to know what to say? You want to know what to say? David gives us a great example right here. All right, Psalm 51. We're going to read the whole thing, okay? As exciting as Acts chapter 16 was, this is better. So here we go. This is better. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me. O God, have mercy on me according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. All right, so this is a song, a prayer, a plea from David to God after he has sinned. And he is begging him. He is begging God. Look, God, I know. You know I messed up. I know I messed up. It's not good. It's not nice. And I deserve your judgment. But I am begging you, forgive me, Lord. Show me your mercy. Show me your forgiveness. Take away my sin. I can't take it away. I can ask you. I can beg you. I can offer you sacrifice. But I'm not even worthy to come before you. Please, please take away my sin. Because if you take away my sin, then it won't be there. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Wait, that's a thing? Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. We sang that today? Tony reminded me we sang it last week too. I'd already forgotten. So we've sang it 2 weeks in a row. It's a keeper. Directly from David. We go to God and we beg Him for mercy. And we trust and know that He blots it out. And now that He's given us a clean slate, well, Lord, I need a right heart. I need a new heart. I need a willing spirit. I need a spirit within me that is a willing participant in your righteousness, your holiness, your purposes, your plans. God, I got to get up every day and say, look, you got to take away my sin because it's ugly and it's bad and I can't do anything about it. I need your forgiveness. I need you to mend what is broken within me. And now that my sins are forgiven, Lord, I need a clean heart. Keep me close to you. Lord, I want to do better. I want to do the things that you want me to do. I want to do them. So, please, don't give up on me. Don't send me away. Fill me with your spirit. Don't take it away. Don't take it away because I recognize and I understand you've called me to partner with you. But the only place that is worthy of your presence is a holy place. So forgive me. Forgive me of those things in my life that are not holy. Wash me. Make me clean. And give me a heart that wants, I want so much to be faithful to you. Give me the spirit and the will to actually do that. Please. Again, constant plea. A constant plea of recognizing where we were before God forgives us and where we are now that He has forgiven us. And repurposing our direction of I want to walk with Jesus. I want to be with Him step by step. I want to be filled with His Spirit. So now that I'm back, now that we're good, now that we're good, what do I say? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 13, I circled the word then. Then. Here's how miserable I am. Here's how good God is. Now what? Well, then. I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I'd give it. You'll not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered to your altar. Father, once your mercy does its job in my life and restores me, you know what I'm going to do? Whenever I open my mouth, guess what's going to come out? Good. I'm going to tell other people because it's good, because you're good, because I understand what I did and I understand how horrible it is, and I know that it only leads to one place, and that is death, and that is out of your presence, and I don't want that. But the good news is you've delivered me from that. And so now that you've given me your purposes, whenever I open my mouth, what's going to come out? I'm going to teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. My tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. I'm going to tell the lost what God has done for them so that they can be found. And I'm going to brag about how good God is. Not about myself. I'm going to brag about how good God is. Look, you have got to understand how much God loves you. You have got to understand how perfect He is, how He has put everything together. That is a different soundtrack than what we hear every day, right? That's just a different message. It is a different message. It goes against the grain. It goes against the flow. Because the world is taking it one direction, and that direction is away from God. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when your message, your soundtrack, doesn't sound like all the other soundtracks that you hear. And don't be surprised when they get upset that you're not saying the same things. Because what's the popular music playing these days? Yeah, it's got a different cover art, but it's the same song. Do whatever you want to do. You be your own God. Did God really say this? You and I look at it and we go, oh, it's never been this bad. Look, the enemy, he doesn't have much. Church, unfortunately, it doesn't take much because we're kind of weak. But he doesn't have much. It hasn't changed. It's just do what you want to do. You be God. Don't let someone else tell you what to do. You be God. Fantastic. And where do you think that's going to end? Where do you think that's going to lead? What do you think heaven is going to look like with Chester in charge? I'm not picking on Chester. I just picked a name. And I usually pick on Terry. What do you think of heaven's going to look like with Michael in charge? I'll pick on me. You want to spend eternity in a heaven where Michael's in charge? He knows. He said no. If any of you were tempted to go, you know that might not be so. No. The answer is no. You do not want to spend eternity any place besides what God has prepared. You don't want to do it. You don't want to do it in church? That's what we tell them. That's what we tell them. I've been where you are. I've been in charge of my own life. And ta-da. It was a mess. It was a mess. But thankfully, God in His righteousness and in His love looked down on the mess that I had created and said, I can do something with that. In fact, I got a pretty good track record of taking and turning it into It's what He does. It's what He does. And church, that's the message you and I are going to take out this week, outside of these walls, outside of this building, and we're going to encounter people and say, hey, I got some good news for you. Oh, really? Yeah. Gas is down to 221. You better get over there because I don't know how long it's going to last. That's not the good news you've got this week. I promise you someone else will cover that good news. The good news you have is that Jesus died for their sins too. And He wants you to be involved in sharing that good news. If it's a person, talk to them. If it's not the person, talk to them. Come back and report how that story goes. You'll enjoy that one. That's a kick. That's a kick. All right. We got it. We know why to say it. We know that He wants us to say it. Now we know what to say. So, if you're hearing it, and you need to respond, and you and your household need to be baptized, invitation's open.